passage comes from 2 Samuel, book 5, verses 1 through 5, and then 9 through 10. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people, Israel. You who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. And then picking up again at verse 9, David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around, from the Millo onward." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. Actually, history is a little bit less sure here because there is some dispute as to when letters were written and even where they were written. But after Paul's second missionary journey, he had established the church at Corinth and he went back to Antioch. And then he started his third missionary journey and he stopped off at Ephesus where he lived for some years. Messengers came to him from Corinth, and he did make another trip up to Corinth, which was very upsetting to him, and he wrote another letter, which may be incorporated into 2 Corinthians, and again, it may not, it may have been lost, but later he wrote the whole second epistle, and in it, he seems to be much happier with the church at Corinth. This passage comes from chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. "I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, and I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me. Even considering the exceptional character of the revelations, therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." To keep me from being too elated. "Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.' So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And it reads like this. "Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, And many who heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds or power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at it. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake the dust off your shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, did I read the first part of that lesson correctly? Did Jesus fail when he went to his hometown? It sure seems to be saying that. That he went there and the people did not believe. They did not have faith. And because of that, Jesus was rendered powerless. Oh, he healed a few people, which for us would be a pretty big deal. But it seems to imply there that that wasn't a really big deal, that Jesus could have done so much more if only the people had had faith. I think I have an idea of what Jesus went through. When I served the church in the inner city of Philadelphia, I found the community where that church was to be what I considered spiritually dead. The people seemed to have no interest in spiritual matters. It's not a good sign when there are more bars in the community than there are churches. And the people only seemed to get interested in God when there was an emergency or when someone died. And it was a very frustrating place to try to minister. Because it seemed no matter what we tried, it didn't spark an interest or it did not spark faith in the people. But it didn't seem to get Jesus down. He says that he left and he visited other places and then he called the 12. And then he sends them out two by two into the various villages and towns to preach, to heal, to cast out demons. And it seems like in the doing of that, he allows for failure. And he sends them with nothing, so they take the very essentials of what you need. You basically take your toothbrush and go. And if they welcome you, stay and preach. And if they don't welcome you when you leave, just shake the dust off your feet and go on. I think Jesus did this for two reasons, sent them out. One was to prepare the way. Jesus would be coming and visiting these places. And so the disciples went out and provided a little backdrop for what for Jesus coming, getting the ground ready. But the other reason, I think this is probably the primary reason, he wanted to train his disciples and what they would have to be doing later. Going out and preaching, healing, and casting out demons. And so he wanted to prepare them. And the best way to prepare them is to send them out and give them a chance. For when they go out, the theoretical intersects with the practical. And usually when that happens, you come out of it with far more questions than you come out with answers. And you come out and you may discover some of your strengths, but you also discover a lot of your weaknesses. And so Jesus was able to bring them back together and say, what'd you learn? And what do you need to know? And he was preparing them for what would be coming later. For after Jesus was crucified and descended into heaven, they're going out again. And this time without so much of the safety net, I would say. And the church is on the line, but they're going out again. Then there's Paul and his message. And he starts it off by saying, I know of a man, and most all scholars agree that Paul's talking about himself. I know a man who had this super spiritual experience. I mean, it was so special that words can't even describe it. And you might think somebody would boast about that, but that's not what I want to boast about. I want to boast about my weaknesses. I have a thorn in the flesh, some problem, ailment or something going on in Paul's life that he considers a thorn in his flesh that's holding him back. And he prays to God, oh God, won't you take this away? Don't you realize how much more I could be doing for you if this was gone? And God answers saying, do you realize that if that were gone, you might forget that it's my power that's at work. You might start to think that it's your own effort, your own intelligence, your own drive and work that's making this happen instead of recognizing that it's my power working through you. And so Paul says, I will boast of my weaknesses, not of my strengths. I can't see this catching on. I can't imagine going to an interview and saying, well, I'm an introvert, and I have ADHD, so attention deficit. I don't do real good with details, and my spiritual gift is procrastination. Would you like to hire me? No. Somebody's going to want someone to come in and say, oh, I'm a fabulous preacher. I'm a great leader. And I can take this church to the next level. That's what people want to hear. Not their weaknesses. But Paul's not the only one saying this. Think back to Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Who are the ones that are blessed? The poor in spirit. Those that mourn, those that are humble and meek, those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, those that are merciful, those that are peacekeepers, and those that are being persecuted. Those are the ones that are blessed. Those don't sound like the power folks. And when Jesus built his church and he transformed the world, it didn't start with the rich, the powerful, and the politically connected. It started with the common everyday person, the fisherman. It started with the hated tax collector, Matthew. It started with those that were considered to be on the bottom of the social ladder, women and slaves. And it was God bringing all these together. It changed the world. Sometimes God wants to use us. And we offer excuses for why we can't be used. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't know enough. People might think of me as a hypocrite or I don't have time or I might fail or, oh, we can't. We offer up all kinds of excuses why we can't do things. And we don't realize that God can take our very weaknesses and turn them into God's power to use us. Sometimes God calls us out of our comfort zones. Let me tell you about Don. Don was a member of my church in Philadelphia. And he wanted to see our church grow. He recognized the spiritual apathy that was there. And we wanted to get the kids to start coming to church. They said they wanted to come to Sunday school, but they would never come. And we realized the reason why was because the parents wouldn't put them to bed on Saturday nights. They'd stay up midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning or later. And they were too tired to get up. The parents weren't getting up, and so they weren't coming. So we decided to do Sunday school Tuesday afternoons. And Don had always said he didn't like working with kids. Wasn't his gift, wasn't his talent. Like I said, he wanted to see that church grow. And so he got involved, and he wanted to support his wife, who was the Sunday school teacher, and had devoted many years of her life to teaching Sunday school, and so he wanted to support her too. So he got there, and he was there every Tuesday helping out with these kids. And a funny thing happened. He grew to love those kids. He grew to be an advocate for that ministry. He wanted to see that thing continue on and to be working. And God took what was a weakness or an excuse on his part and changed it. And I think God may want to be doing that with us. No more excuses. We're about to come to the table. This table where we proclaim the Lord's death. Boy, that's weakness. Jesus died. And yet we find power in the cross. The power to transform lives. The power to forgive us of our sins. The power to equip us and make us into the people that God wants us to be. No more excuses, because we don't do things under our own power. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. We are quick to make excuses, quick to find reasons why we can't be used by you. So break down those excuses. Help us to recognize, even in our weakness, you can do great things. In fact, often when we work from our weakness, we discover your power. So help us and guide us to do the things that you've called us to do. Pray this in Christ's name.